You are listening to Sparking Wholeness with Erin Carey, where we talk about all things related to nutrition for mind, body, and soul. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, it's Erin Carey. Welcome back to Sparking Wholeness. Today, I'm sitting down with Nikita Wren-Thigpen, the world's number one balance and relationship advisor, who is a captivating speaker that inspires families to cultivate love, adventure, and personal growth with a groundbreaking approach that merges psychotherapy, trauma expertise, and relationship wisdom. Nikita challenges norms and ignites transformative change. As the host of the Balance Boldly podcast and author of Selfish, Permission to Pause, she captivates audiences with her thought-provoking insights. With her expertise as CEO of ThigPro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, Nikita offers a fresh perspective on healing work-life balance and nurturing love. So excited to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Erin. I am thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to talk all things relationships, all things balancing relationships in regards to this aspect of self-care that is a very popular buzzword, but I don't know if many of us really understand what that means or how to incorporate it into our regular lives. So to you, how would you describe self-care starting off?
Yeah. I mean, self-care for me has to be selfish. And I don't mean it in the biblical sense. I don't mean it in the orthodox definition of it, because that version of the word really does come from a patriarchal view of keeping women small. And that's a whole ideology to the word itself. So once I understood it, I, you know, decided to redefine it, because what good woman wouldn't just redefine her own words, right? And in redefining selfish, I literally created it to mean the intimate personal space that you give yourself to create joy your way. And so in that space is where the self-care emerges. It's where you create time to pray. If you are a woman of God that prays, or depending on who you are listening to this, a man of God who prays, if you are someone who really gets invigorated or calmed by meditating, you have to stop all the other things, right, in order to create that space. That's what selfishness is. It's just creating that space to fill yourself up, to recalibrate, to do your forgiveness work for yourself, to be able to make room for actual gratitude and not the fake gratitude that people will just like run off things of materials and money and, you know, kind of external things, which really aren't the treasures of your heart, right? Like, what are you really grateful for? Oh, I have breath in my body. I can open my eyes. I can hear, I can smell, whatever that is for you, to really come into the embodiment of self is self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you're even shaping or reshaping the word selfish, because it does have a negative connotation. And I think that, what was I reading the other day? It was something in regards to love and being able to accept love, but only really being able to accept what you're able to express for yourself.
Yes.
And I mean, man, the negative self-talk game that many of us have, how does that inhibit us being able to take time for ourselves to show up better for other people?
Yeah, 1000%. When you think about it, it's very hypocritical to be in a space where you're like, I love love. I love people. I want to do all the right things. I want to be a follower of servant leadership. I want to do it. But then you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, what is that on your face? I hate this and this gray hair. And you know, when you were so unkind to ourselves, how is that being in a, you know, pun intended here, a balanced or harmonious space with yourself when you're not even as kind or as gracious to yourself as you say that you want to be for other people, for your children, for your spouse, for the person you're trying to attract in? If you're not quite in a forever lovership, is what I consider marriage, right? Because hopefully that's what it is, but you're not able to call that in. And sometimes, and this isn't a blame the person situation, but it is a look at the hardwiring. What are you putting into your computer system? What's coming in? Are you watching things that are angry and volatile or depressing or sad or, you know, full of rage? Is that what you're sitting down to relax to? Well, you're pulling it in, you're sleeping on it, you're technically meditating on it when you're supposed to be resting and your body's supposed to be healing. So of course, when you wake up, the first thing you do is self-criticize, right? The first thing you do is look at all the things that you don't think you're worthy of completing. So you look at how you're not going to be able to, oh, this day is going to be a mess. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. How do I get more hours in a day? Well, it starts by looking at what your priorities are. And it's hard to see what your priorities are if everyone else's expectations are on your lap and there's nothing that belongs to you because you don't really know what's yours because you didn't slow down to hear, in my opinion, from the highest version of yourself, which is directly connected to God. What are you supposed to be doing? Truly, not what's on your list, not how many emails came in, not, you know, who told you you have to do these 25 things in order to qualify as successful. All of those things are easy to kind of overrun yourself if you don't create dedicated intention. I say be intentionally selfish for that reason. Mm-hmm. Be intentional about your time because nobody else is going to make space for you except for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you even mentioned the strongest relationships are led by those bold enough to be intentionally selfish. So how does this show up in relationships?
Yeah, I'll pick on me, first partaker, right? So my husband and I have been friends since 13, together since 17, married since 22. I know I look wow. really young, but you know from the green room, I'm a grandmother, right? So like a lot of time has passed. And in that, our first earlier years were really hard, not just because we were young and we were growing up together and we were just figuring out life and our brain wasn't fully developed. That part aside, it was because we were so focused on trying to make each other happy, to do what was best for each other. And the reality is it's hard to make room for someone else when you don't have space, because then you feel stifled. And it's not about them. They're not doing it to you. Assuming that there's no coercion, right? Like, so assuming coercion aside, assuming you're in a healthier relationship, there's no intimate partner violence. So assuming that that's not a reality for anyone who's listening to this, you have to look at how you're stifling yourself. And one of the things I was doing, I remember the day when my husband was like, you need a hobby, babe. Like, for real, you need something, because I was so doting and so caring and so wanting to make sure that he was resourced and he had everything he needed to be. I'm a Black woman married to a Black man, and I really wanted to make sure that he was fully empowered. Mm-hmm. Nothing is wrong with that. But where was Nikita giving to Nikita? So Nikita was fully empowered. And I think he's an amazing human, because that's why I kept him all these years. And, you know, he's phenomenal. He can't give me what I can't give me, right? Like, he can't give me something that I'm not willing to accept for myself. So I had to create that intentionally selfish space for myself to just listen. For me, that started with prayer and having an intimate relationship with God. Like, that was really important. Going to church, yes. Going to Bible study, yes. Like, all those things are great, but that wasn't the personal relationship that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, me crying, fussing, saying, hey, Dad, what's going on? Why is this not looking right? What's, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. That was hugely important for me, and me being able to hear that divine wisdom for myself, not interpret it through a third person, because I needed to run everything through someone, but being able to hear it and then share with advisors and get feedback if, you know, feedback was necessary or required. But there was no way to really truly do that without creating that space. Otherwise, I'm a woman who has more degrees than most people have underwear. I'm a woman who, you know, had 5+ jobs before she became an entrepreneur at the same time with the husband, with the family, while in school, doing all the things. So I was definitely booked and busy. And it's easy to hide in that and not create that space for yourself, because then you feel guilty, right? Like, oh, I should be writing a paper. I should be reading a book. I should be listening to an Audible. I should be, right? All the should be's, when really what's most important is hearing from the divine wisdom that was saying, you know what? Share this. Be honest about that. Be vulnerable with this. Stop being negative with yourself. Stop saying frustrating things to your children because you're projecting because you didn't get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. You didn't eat a nutrient dense, you know, meal today. You didn't hydrate enough. I remember my youngest is 23 and she's precocious and me. She's me times 10. And I remember when she was like, it's been like 12 hours. Did you pee yet? Like something as simple, right? And we all can relate to it, especially if you have little people. But even if you don't have biological children from your body and your business is your baby, or your servant mm-hmm. leadership is your baby, or you're writing a book and that's it's keeping you up in the middle of the night, the way a 4-month-old, like if those things are what you feel are connected to your imprint, which most people would call the legacy that they're creating, well, you have to be strong enough and calibrate it right in order to finish, you know, decide, commit, complete. We can decide we're going to do a thing, we can commit to it, but if we don't have the energy store to complete it because our self-care is non-existent, that's going to be a huge challenge. And then who's losing out? Not just you, but all the people that you were meant and purposed to impact. So that's why it's just so important.
Okay. You touched on so many things, and all of a sudden I feel like it's turning into a therapy session for me because I am always going, and I've got the podcast and a health coaching business, and I'm in the process of a book. I mean, you know, there's all the things, and I love
all the things.
My brain mm-hmm. runs on ideas and information and words, right? Mm-hmm. Love that. However, I am prone to burnout as a result because I also, my kids go to a university style homeschool. So it's like they're doing homeschool part-time, school part-time, and then church involvement. And oh, wait, I have a husband and we want time together and we want to be able to go out and do fun things because we really do love each other and we're each other's best friend, right? Okay. So where does that leave me in it? And mm-hmm. sometimes it leaves me on a Saturday or a Sunday in my bed reading a book to escape from everybody when
yes.
that's kind of more reactive burnout, not necessarily proactive self-care. So how do we adjust if somebody's listening and is also resonating with what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. And I resonate with that, especially in that my business will be 13 years old at the time of this recording in just a few months. Wow. So my kids were much younger when I started. God knows that everything that you just painted was my life from Wednesday night Bible study to Friday night, something with the youth group to Sunday in church and then actual work and all the things in between. And it was really, really challenging. One of the things that I had to do before I hit the floor in tears, because that's usually either the next step or one of the many steps along the journey, right? Of burnout for many of us. And I'm not someone who's an escape artist from burnout. I changed careers because of that. It's really important to make sure that you give yourself that permission to slow down so you can speed up. Easier said than done. So one of the first things I did, it sounds so silly, but I started blowing bubbles. I literally went to like the Dollar Tree store, for those of you who are somewhere maybe in the United States potentially, or some version of an inexpensive store, depending on where you are in the world. I got a dollar thing of bubbles that came in a 6-pack in many different colors. I had to tap into my inner 5-year-old. It was super important. Now, neurobiologically, and from a neuroscience perspective, it was very helpful because I could do my deep breathing exercises with the bubbles, right? Concentrating on the big bubbles. Now, that's the nerd in me that kind of had to justify taking the time to do it. And if you need to justify it with some evidence-based scientific study that says it's okay for you to take a 20-minute nap, there's plenty of science on it, right? Mm-hmm. It's more than okay for you to do your deep breathing exercises because it massages your organs, it releases oxytocin, it really helps you from kind of like a natural hormonal rebalancing perspective. That's okay. If that's what you need to justify as you're listening, blow some bubbles and it's fun. And that was kind of missing for my me time. A lot of my me time in the earlier years of my business was justified by, okay, I haven't met up with my best girlfriends and my sisters because I'm the oldest of 5 and all the things. So let me schedule a brunch. Let me do this. Let me, right? And you turn into host, which is not the same as relaxing and enjoying and showing up and feeling like you don't have to be available for someone else's anything. So quiet me. Sitting in a bathroom, because that's where most of us get our privacy, especially if you have children, right? Like I'm telling the truth. I closed the door. I took my bubbles in there and I just blew bubbles for 2 minutes. And I only concentrated on like, can I make the bubble bigger? Can I make it bigger? Like with each exhale, that was all I did. And it felt so good, Aaron, like so good to my soul, so good to my spirit. it obviously gave me all the medical benefits, right? Like
Yeah.
the biological benefits of all of it. And that made me want more. It was, you know, I'm going to say this with love for everyone listening. It was kind of like my first hit of a drug. I was like, and I've never had drugs, but it was my first hit. I was like, oh, this is what this feels like to just be with you and not be with you because of an incident, because that's the other time we'll typically get that time is if something catastrophic has happened, then people will leave you alone. Well, that's not the kind of alone time that I want. I don't want to wait for an incident, for a loved one to die in my family, for people to back up and give me space, or for my phone to stop ringing, or for people to understand why I'm not returning an email in 32 seconds at 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's when they sent it. So they expect me to answer at that same time. I didn't want that to happen. So after I had this kind of me bubble time, I started inching a little bit more. It became jumping on a rebounder, the little trampolines that you can slide under your couch, like the little 30 to 36 inch ones, having 2 minutes. And of course, I justified it because, again, I'm a nerd. I was like, oh, NASA says 20 minutes on a rebounder is the same as a 60 minute run, right? Like, I did honestly, I had to justify it. And then I got to the point where I didn't have to justify it. It became just about me. Now, in the interim of all this, I'm doing similar work with other clients. And you know, as a woman, when you get something good, you want to share it with everyone. Like, hey, girl, I just tried this new smooth water. You got to get some too, right? Like, we want to share it. And I became such an advocate for something that professionally, I had always known about, but I wasn't embodying it, which is why embodying self-care is so much more important than talking about it or saying you're going to do it or only doing it when you can justify it. But when you embody it, you literally reshape everything. It's a game changer.
Yeah, I would never think that blowing bubbles, I mean, it totally makes sense with what you're saying. I wouldn't have ever gone there. And I love that. And I bet it's a really good nervous system shift, right? Like that's the drug hit that you're talking about.
Yes. All the vagus nerve things, like all the things. It was, of course, I needed to know that before I did it to give myself like that permission to do this and not feel like, girl, you're supposed to be working on this, writing this, recording that, you know, all of it. And again, that's okay. So if anyone's listening to this and you're just like, I have so much going on, I can't do it. You just got permission to do something that will actually make you more productive. It will actually light up your bedroom, right? Like, because if you feel good, you feel more confident, you feel more powerful, well, your lovemaking is going to be better. Mm-hmm. You're going to be more willing to say, you know what, honey, you've been doing this for 8 years. I really don't like that. I really want this other thing done that's not necessarily bouncing off the walls, but there's so many benefits to having sexy self-care, right? Like make it sexy, do it together. I love to watch the little videos. Now I'm not going to record this, but I love to watch the little videos where you see the husband and wife working out together. It does boost so
really
many
does.
Things, right? Like it's amazing. Now, one of the reasons I'm not going to record it is because I'm one of those people who sweat until I'm sparkling. So it's not video
so
cute.
Jealous. My husband sweats like that and I don't.
I know.
That's good detoxification.
It is. It's also very unsexy to look at.
But no, you bring up a good point. I'm so glad you said that. My husband and I, he really got into weightlifting a couple of years ago after his own period of depression burnout. It just really got him out of a funk. And so we've started doing, it was like once a month weekend workouts now, because our kids are big enough, we can leave them at home.
Yeah.
So now it's like once a weekend. That's kind of a little date that we have is that we go work out and, you know, I'll be like, okay, put me through a workout. And he likes to put something together and I like to complain and whine about it, but really do enjoy it. And there is something to that and including more, how do I say, health promoting activities together,
yes.
I think can be really beneficial because then we reap the benefits together. We experience the benefits of that extra blood flow together.
Yes.
And you mentioned bedroom. And I think that I would love if you want to go down that path, I would love to talk about that increasing intimacy. Because when you're tired, when you've done every single thing for everybody else, sometimes at the end of the day, being intimate with your spouse is just another item on the checklist that somebody else needs you to check off for them, right? When that's not at all what it should be.
It's
So
not.
how can we reframe for the women who are like, oh, it's somebody wanting something else from me?
Right.
How do we reframe that?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, because this comes up a lot for our power couples, because I work with power couples and what I call potent humans, which are usually like our women founders and CEOs and leaders, that it feels like a chore comment or some version of that, the checkbox, the chore. One woman said it within a couple's consultation. She was like, I'm sorry, but I have to say this. It's right down there with getting the oil change or cleaning the toilet. Like, I, and it's not that I don't want to do it. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I'm not attracted to you, but that's how it feels after an 18-hour day or a 12-hour day or a really heavy, normal, quote unquote, normal 8-hour day. It feels really heavy that way. So a lot of the things that I tell each of the individuals, especially when I'm working with them as couples, is we got to look at what's going on with you, like mentally, physically, spiritually. Like, we work through the whole kind of paradigm to see what needs to be re-empowered and potentially reframed if you have some earlier childhood scripts. Because even in 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, a lot of us, male and female, have a very difficult time talking about sex, even with their partner. And that's another thing that kind of drains the sexy out of it, is because you become rote. Everything is monotonous. Is if we used to only be missionary, that's kind of what we do. We don't really, you know, maybe we dated and did something different, but now that we have the kids and everything's a whisper and we got to be quiet and, you know, we don't have the privacy, or, you know, we're just more in tune to what other people might think. Like, all of those, you know, chatter mind things that are happening, we call a monkey mind. That's happening for us are coming up for both of us, and our bodies are changing and our hormones are different. So our pheromone scents are different. Like, there's so many different things. Back in the day, I sweat like a crazy lady, like I do now, but I don't remember ever smelling myself. Now, as soon as I finish, I gotta hit the shower immediately before I go for a kiss, right? Like, there's all those kind of little tiny things that make you or can make you really self-conscious. So one of the things to do is look at what kind of intimacy you need before actual sexual, physical, let's just say intercourse, or oral sex, because of course sex is so much more dynamic than the two things that I just mentioned. But for women specifically, we need to be emotionally stimulated, and there's no way around that. So if I just finished a long day messing with vendors, having, you know, confrontational or courageous conversations with people who wanted to challenge my boundaries, whether it was within a peer group or a professional conversation. Then I'm coming downstairs and I'm chopping up the tomatoes, and you want to come back on behind me to get, you know, a quick little fill and be teasing and excited. That sounded real cute 7 hours ago. Now, right at the end of the day, it's definitely not giving me the feel. So my body's tense. I'm giving you a rigidity that doesn't make you feel wanted. Now you don't feel like your advances are appreciated, right? So there's a whole kind of shame spiral that we both get entangled in, and it's all silent. No one has actually said anything, and we're all still entangled in this. And this can last for years for some couples, because it's this silent, when we do have intimacy, it's because we feel like we have to check that box, or I just don't want you to stray, or I just want to make sure that I've done my duty as a wife or a husband, right? And not actually craving it. And that's the way I frame it in our consultation, is when is the last time you craved each other? Which is very different than when's the last time you got some, right? Or when's the last time you had sex? And really looking at, wow, when did I crave him last? Like, I just could not wait to clock out, get off work, and all the things. Well, part of the reason you're not craving is because you're not emotionally stimulated. So let's look at, which I always bring people back to, the recreational intimacy. Let's look at your communication intimacy. Let's look at your conflict intimacy. How are you handling working through problems? Because for women with minds of an elephant, I remember that we really actually didn't get through that thing from 1996. It still stuck with me because I just saw you pick up your fork in the same exact way that reminded me of 25 years ago when you, right? And all of those things are literally inside your nervous system. So we don't necessarily have to do an 8 month deprogramming, but we do have to look at, how do you feel heard? How do you feel when you're appreciated? How do you appreciate? How do you validate each other? How are you edifying or in lay term empowering each other? And then we can get to the desiring part, which can all happen literally at a 90-minute session if you're vulnerable and you're honest and you're not needing to be excavated through. And like, you know, I've been a therapy, you've been a therapy, you know, it could be a challenge to pull it out of you versus you, you know, being forthright and forthcoming with that information. So what I would tell anyone listening to this, and you're like, okay, Nikita, I hear it. I got to have all this you can do is sit with you and say, or answer the question rather, what do I want? What do I really want? And if you can look at what do I want in the bedroom? What do I want before we get to the bedroom? Do I need soft kisses on my neck? One of your erogenous zones. Are you actually not interested in foreplay? Is it painful if you're a woman of a certain age and you've had different things happen with your hormones? So maybe you are experiencing various challenges with the stretchiness of your vaginal canal. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want physical intercourse. That's not how you want to be stimulated, but you feel like you have to because that's what he's used to and that's what you've always done. Maybe you need to have what we call outer play and do some other things that stimulate you where you're just panting and breathing. And remember, you know, for all those listening, don't act shy now. Back in the day when you used to be in a teenage situation and used to rub up on each other through your clothes, there was no under the clothes anything, but you were just kind of getting your freak on through the clothes, grinding and panting and breathing. A lot of the visualization of what could happen next is actually enough to stimulate many people to orgasm. Mm-hmm. So depending on what your situation is and what's going on, it's not a right or wrong. Your body is perfect the way that it is for everyone listening to this. But you have to know what you want now, which is very different than what maybe you wanted 10 years ago or even 6 months ago, especially if you're a woman and you have hysterectomies or fibroids and other things that can really change the dynamics of your system. You really have to look at how have I changed? It's okay if you want the lights off now. It's okay if you prefer to leave your nightgown on or a loose fitting shirt because it just makes you feel more comfortable while you're working on strengthening your body and toning your body. It's not okay for you to say, I don't feel good about my body, but I'm not going to change my eating. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to walk a little bit more. That's not okay because now you're putting all of the changes on your partner and they have their own body image challenges and things that are happening with their body. Unless you're listening to this and you're 22, you know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're that person, you probably have changed since the moment that you fell in love and that you met your forever lover. So those are the things that I would start with.
Yeah. Oh, that is so huge. And I'm so glad that you brought up the different seasons. It's going to look different. And I mean, my husband and I, we actually today is our 15 year engagement anniversary at the time we're recording this, but we'll be married 15 years this summer.
Love it.
And that's something we have seen such a shift depending on the baby seasons or when the teenager became a teenager and started staying up later. And that kind of got into our space a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now my hormones are definitely shifting and I'm seeing a huge change in libido just from those physiological changes, which I've got to communicate about that. Right. And like end of the day is not my time anymore. Maybe that worked in my 20s, early 30s, but beginning of the day, I'm good to go. So catch me at 6 a.m. which
that part
sounds crazy, but I mean, like I want to be able to provide him with the best of my energy. Right. Yeah. And so being able to communicate with that and let him know it's not a lack of attraction or a lack of wanting or a lack of any of those things at the end of the day, it's just, I'm exhausted and I would prefer to give you my best, which is before 2 p.m.
Yes. That's, you know what, Erin, this is such a good point. This came up in a couple sessions just a few weeks ago. And the husband was saying he's kind of a night owl because that's what they're used to for, I think they've been married about 8.5, almost 9 years. He was like, oh, well, I used to be able to, you know, right before you went to bed or in the middle of the night, wake you up. And she's like, don't wake me up. You know how hard it's been to, you know, for me to get sleep with these hot flashes and all these other things. So I said, well, how about we try something? We experimented for about 2 weeks. Show them better than you can tell them. So in our individual session, we talked about how she could, you know, because she, you know, a woman of a certain age, she was like, well, I gotta brush my teeth and I gotta, you know, freshen up. I said, go ahead. Just like you get up three times a night to go pee, go ahead and in one of those pee breaks or bio breaks to be more PC, go ahead and lightly freshen up and then show them better than you can tell them. So if 6 a.m. is your jam, show them better than you can tell. And when he gets the explosion of all this excitement and energy, seeing the confidence and the beauty of his wife empowered to take control, honey, you don't have to tell him no more time. Just wait for me. And eventually you'll be able to tangle with, okay, I don't always want to be the person to start either, but that's a new good problem to have. So right now, for anyone who's listening, who's kind of in a similar situation, show. And you get to take advantage for those of you who are on the opposite side of the quote unquote normal timeline, the way Aaron's talking about, you know, your husband's morning erection is an amazing thing to take advantage of. I'm just saying, it's less work on your part to get
That's
the
so
party
true. That
started.
is so true. Yeah. You know, and it even makes me think, I mean, just bringing the conversation back full circle, it does take assertiveness. It does take knowing yourself and making space to be able to share, not because of the expectations of other people, not because of your own negative self-talk, but you have to know yourself and you have to know your worth and you have to be aligned spiritually and all of that in order to be able to have these difficult conversations.
And what you just described is literally balance. Like, that's my formula for balance, is admitting the truth of what you really want and creating some boundaries so you can achieve that truth as your reality. The boundaries include those zones of spirituality, the zones of personal habits, like going to work out, taking care of your body, putting the right things in, making sure the detoxins, you know, the toxins and things come out through a detoxing way, not being glued to other people's expectations, including your own expired expectation. You know, the 20 plus year old Nikita, before all of the heavy responsibility of adulthood and all the things that came, as the kids would call adulting, I think is the term that they use now, before that came in with such full fierceness, I was so much lighter. I was fun. I was more spontaneous. I became a much more rigid planner, and you know, everything had to be put in a time block, which all those things are great for efficiency and productivity when you're working on a proposal or a contract or for your health coaching clients, right? Like, those things are very, really important for your own efficiency. I didn't want to have to keep to the point where I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, better get downstairs, right? Like, that's it can help you get into the pattern to rewire, but that shouldn't be the thing you have to rely on. You shouldn't have to rely on, I feel like I'm in the mood, he's in the mood, but it's not Tuesday night, it's Wednesday, so this isn't our day, because that's not what's on my schedule. But we become more rigid because we need the structure, because it's a trauma response. So all of those things are things we have to pay attention to. And I know people listening just like, I want to jump from this is a problem, and I want to get to the perfection, but it took you a long time to create these rigidities and these challenges with your confidence. Like, there was a long time, a lot of chaos had to calcify over and over and over again with the storms of life that have come. So it's not necessarily going to be eradicated in 2 minutes or in the time of a podcast, but you can absolutely start to make these implementations, and you're fall of 2024 can look very different than your spring of 2024.
I love that. I mean, and it really is. It's shifting the way that we think, but being open to exploring what we've been doing and look and see, is this working or is this not working?
Tweak, A/B split test, right? Oh, I realized that, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. I thought was going to be my jam. It really isn't, because it's too close to the time. So I might have to take one of those 3 a.m. moments that I'm awake and that works for me, and just make sure that I'm being in a dance with my partner to make sure that I'm not doing the opposite. I don't want someone to interrupt my sleep. Maybe as much as he wants it, he may not want that either. So then we have to look at, like, oh, okay, that didn't work as well. It was fun a couple times, but that's not working. So now let's look at a different time of day that we can do it, or get really creative and create your own domicile within your domicile We can talk about sex rooms and how to create them in small closets that are unused and all kinds of things where you can soundproof them if you have children. Like it gets real detailed. So like there's ways around it if you really need to and want to.
Yeah, I mean, because this is a huge hang up for couples. I think it's a huge hang up for women, especially. And of course, gosh, we factor in trauma, we factor in cultural expectations, we factor in generational trauma. And I mean, like it can become a really big thing. And then pretty soon it's a big thing, but nobody really knows, like, what is this actually about? Because it's about all of it.
It's about all of it. And to your point, a lot of people won't touch it because it just feels so overwhelming. But then they're not self-actualizing, right? Your self-actualization is about you living fully and feeling complete. It's hard to feel complete if you are in a healthy, consensual sexual relationship where one of you is not being sexual and not being pleased, or you're feeling like you're doing something because you have to. That doesn't feel like you're living a full life. That feels like you're being held captive to demands and expectations. And how can that be empowering, right? So all the great things that are happening at work are now subtracted from because of the way that things are showing up in your personal life, which is why we say amplify intimacy from the bedroom to the boardroom. We can amplify it there. Well, you're more creative, you're more innovative, you're more kind to your team, right? Like there's so many things that can happen in the boardroom, the leadership, the business, the career, because you're getting it right in the bedroom.
Well, I mean, oxytocin is an antidote to stress.
That
So,
part.
I mean, that's a huge, even just cuddling. I mean, one of the things that, not to make it all about me and my husband, but that's the only frame of reference I have here. But
Fine
I
by
mean,
me.
one of the things in the last year and a half, I went through just some personal, some trauma things that like just a triggering of some past things that had happened to me that I never processed before. And so for us, something that's really been helpful is we cuddle more than we ever have. We're touchy, we hold hands, and just shifting because, after you've been married for a while, you just don't, for a lot of people. And so we've increased that. Well, of course, that's led to all sorts of other things. And it's definitely led to more security for me, which is what I needed, more vulnerability, more honesty. And so it might just be having a conversation about, gosh, when was the last time we held hands? Or when did we, do we make out anymore? That's another thing. How many couples just make out just to make out? Usually making out, it's because it's part of the sex thing. But what if you just make out like you used to when you were dating?
Yeah, that's that teasing, that emotional intimacy that kind of gears you up, which can be something as simple for those of you who are like hybrid or remote workers and you're working from home more than not these days. That can be challenging because there's work and there's laundry and there's like all the things are facing. So that lack of aesthetic intimacy is what we would call that, can really create some harshness in the dynamic. So this is where you have to be a little bit more playful. When's the last time you played Monopoly without the kids? When's the last time you played, Jenga without the kids and maybe with a group of other couples, right? Just things where, it's all platonic, it's all good. There's no other things happening outside of your marital bed, so to speak, but you just have the energy of adulthood. When you go on a group couples date, most couples go home and are really excited, not because they've compared themselves to the other couple, like, ooh, I'm glad we're not like Johnny and Jenny, right? Not sometimes those moments happen, but not just because of that, but because there's the adult energy. You don't feel like you have to taper everything that you're saying or you're thinking about. So even doing more of that can be helpful if that's not in your budget or not in your available schedule. Husbands, and hopefully wives, you will share this. Tell your husband to go look in the freezer and see what he can play with you. It can be something really simple and really fun, probably a little messy as things heat up. Midnight picnics are one of the best things, and everything again doesn't have to lead to physical intercourse or oral sex play. It can be as simple as erogenous zone play, where you're kissing necks and, if you're into it, armpits and bottoms of feet and behind knees and lower backs. What? If you're a man and you're listening to this, you better look at the last time you checked around your wife's lower back. Okay. Like there are some places that you just haven't touched and played with in a while because everything was quick or in a hurry, so someone else didn't hear, or you know, the kids in the room or the baby sleeping and all those other things, or because you're looking at the clock, depending on how rigid things have happened. So really doing those kind of things can be helpful. Helping her, one of my clients said, told her husband, when you put the dishes in the dishwasher and I don't have to like do anything else, like I don't have to go behind you and correct it because you put them in the wrong, it is one of the sexiest things you can do because you just freed me up of time. I feel like you appreciate what goes into all of those things because you took that 10 minute, 20 minute thing off my plate. I immediately look at you different because you're helping me. If you're a husband who does the majority of that, and maybe your wife is like traveling and doing business conferences and all of that, and you feel like, oh, I don't feel appreciated. Well, let's, wives, let's look at how you can validate his efforts at home. What can you do more of? Well, you know, he likes to escape at the Home Depot or the local Lowe's to go look at paint samples. Bring some home and say, husband, you know what? I'm thinking about us repainting the bathroom. Like if that's his jam, you know, how can you support him in his other creative endeavors? It sparks emotional intimacy, which helps the communication intimacy, which lowers your conflict. So your intimacy in that can increase. And now you're playing together, which is the recreational intimacy. You're creating other dynamics, which is the aesthetic intimacy, right? Like we're looking at the other pieces of intimacy and not just, okay, bend over, right? Like we're making it a little bit more tantalizing. And I didn't even talk about touching a body part, right? Like all of those things can really support you in the bedroom, but you got to know what you want. And that takes you slowing down, being intentionally selfish enough to say, you know what? I never actually forgave you for that moment when I told you I did, but I was mad at myself. So I really need to do some self-forgiveness work here, which could just be you journaling out a divorce letter to yourself of all the things that you need to get out of you, divorce from yourself, and then re-engage with you in the same method. Once you divorce yourself, let's re-engage. Let's start the marriage work with these intentionally selfish blocks that hopefully won't regulate you to bubbles in the bathroom.
I love that. Oh my goodness. This is, I can't believe how time has flown because this has been so much fun and I love everything that you share. Where can people learn more about you and maybe work with you and all of that?
Yeah, I would say for the more formal side of what we do, go to our website, which is thigpro.com, thigpro.com. We also have two podcasts, which is the Balance Boldly for Ambitious Women in Business and A Few Brave Men. Just put in Balance Boldly and it'll come up everywhere podcasts are played. And my favorite one, The Lazy Overachiever, which is for us. It is for us as entrepreneurs that really want to do things differently and not get sucked into hustle culture. So you can enjoy this family that you're balancing boldly with. So those are the three places I would go.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Oh, I forgot to ask. Okay. One piece of advice. The name of the show is Sparking Wholeness. So if you could give one piece of advice to spark someone toward wholeness, what would it be?
Oh, there's so many layers to that. That's a great question. One piece of advice. I would imagine more. I would imagine more. So make some space for that. If that looks like creating an updated vision board, if that looks like pulling out some paint supplies and getting on the floor and painting your ideal life in just like an abstract blur of colors. But when you look at it, you know what it means. It really can brighten you up from the left side of your brain all the way to the right, but really get your hands in something and imagine more.
I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. This is going to, I can't wait to hear feedback when this comes out because you just touched on so many important, relevant topics. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Erin. I appreciate you.
The tiniest spark leads to the biggest blaze, and I hope that today's episode sparks you on a journey to healing and wholeness. Thanks for listening to Sparking Wholeness. For more information on what I do and my coaching programs, or maybe just to reach out and say hey, find me at sparkingwholeness.com or on Instagram at sparkingwholeness. Have a fabulous week.